say okay. And now everyone, you'll notice that this little icon on the very bottom with the tape recorder is now on, indicating that the session is being recorded.
Okay. Is that the sound file being stored?
Yeah, Derek asked the question, where is the sound file? The whole file, including the sound and who's smiling and the PowerPoint, the whole kit and caboodle, is all stored on the Illuminate server. And if you have an account on, like you're a regular student, then you can just go to My Illuminate and it'll say, you say, I want to see the recordings from last month, and they'll be there. If you're a drop-in like we are sort of thing, we have to take this off the Illuminate server and put it onto an Athabasca server, which is what we'll do for this session, because we want to have access to everyone, not just people who have email or login accounts. Okay, turn it over to Shirley.
On Wednesday, October 26th, the presenters Ingrid Krauser and Jane R. Scott are presenting Gateways to our research project initial findings. The FOIP announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's lunch and learn presentation is being videotaped. The purpose of taping is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to borrow the tape and view the proceedings. Tape the house in the research center. It is now my pleasure to introduce Rory, who will introduce today's speaker. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Lunch and Learn. And I'd just like to say that everyone there should know Terry by now. And so I'm just going to say, go for it. Terry shows what we can do live with Illuminate.
Oh, I'm humbled by that introduction. Okay. You may get the feeling that this is a pro sales job and that I'm getting money on the side from Illuminate. I want to make it very clear that I'm not, and that I think this genre of tools is very useful and will be useful for Athabasca. But there are competitive products, and I'm just going to basically talk about not only, well, I'll show you the little agenda. Was to talk about the features of web conferencing tools in general, the status of Illuminate at Athabasca, and I'm going to go through a demo of these features and talk about potential education and administrative use. And if we have time, my other hot topic these days is the MeToU system that we're running up to, so I could demo that using the system. But I would hope that there will be some questions, both from our in-audience and from, in fact, Bob Halyard has a question right now. Go ahead, Bob.
Terry, are we to control the slides on your show, or do they happen automatically?
Thank you, Bob. I forgot to click, and the people in this room will see the one that says follow the moderator. And so you're going to now be under my control. So you should have the agenda up. I had neglected to click that a minute ago. I could click it to roam and allow the people to go through the slides out of sync with me if I wanted to. But can you give me a hands up or a smiley if you can see the agenda in front of you? Great. Okay, normally if this was a first class with a bunch of new or an administrative meeting, we would run through with a question of the day or an introduction to test everybody's mic. And one of the nice features of this new system, this version, is that if somebody's talking too loud, they have their mic cranked way up, and you see how low it is down here on mine. And you see as I talk, it's just in the yellow, that's where it's supposed to be. Sometimes people have it cranked way up here into the red, and it comes out all muffled. Well, as a moderator, I can crank down their mic volume now, but you should monitor your own mic and see how loud you're speaking. And normally what I would do is just get everyone to know how to do it and to come down to the bottom left. You can't see it. It's a black on red here, and I guess this projector is colorblind, but it's on my screen it says on the air, telling me that I'm live and I'm talking. Okay, I think I'll proceed to the next slide, which says, what is web conferencing? The first thing is it doesn't have a proper name. We used to call it audiographics or web-based audiographics. They're starting to call it web conferencing, but some people think that means asynchronous conferencing, as in computer conferencing. So the lingo is a little bit up in the air. It basically does, if any of you were really along in the old days and you did audiographics on on boards and using the telephone, it's got a lot of that stuff, only it's sort of on steroids. It's a lot better than the old systems that we used to use. Major features and major drawback is a single duplex voice conferencing. That's this over to talk. One person only can talk at a time. And that means that turn-taking is slightly weird. You got to put your hand up in order to grab my attention. It's not as easy a flow. And that obviously is a disadvantage. The advantage is, though, that there's no background noise coming into the conversation because only one person talks. So, you know, if your dog comes in and jumps into your lap, you know how, and you're on a regular audio conversation, you say, please mute your bike, I can hear you doing your email, all that sort of stuff. You don't have that noise. And it also saves bandwidth, obviously. It's got whiteboard, PowerPoint, I can annotate. I can, you know, as I talk, I have these different, the people out there won't see them, but I can put a different icon that I can post to talk about where I'm at on the talk, all that sort of stuff. It's got, we have a question here in the room.
Just
press your button.
Just show it to the PowerPoint, because you have to pre-prepare slides, obviously, but then are they uploaded to the Illumina server?
Thanks for that question, Derek. Yes, you create them normally, and then you have to exit PowerPoint, and I come over to here. Again, the in-room people will see it, but those outside won't see this internal manipulation. But I load the whiteboard, and I load it, and it converts each PowerPoint into a different slide. And there's two ways to do it. One gives better slides, but it's a little more awkward. And this is the bigger, the better screen. It's not all that complicated, but it's a special whiteboard format. It's turned it in from the PowerPoint, and it saved it onto my hard drive. Then I loaded it up just before showtime here. Application sharing and collaborative web surfing. I'll demonstrate a little bit of that. I don't use it a lot in my courses, but any application that I have open on my computer, I can allow the other people to see. So, in our program, for the first time, we'll be able to do things like teach Dreamweaver or stuff like that, and you can give the control to the students too, so that they can grab it and they can practice or whatever on a common application sharing. The breakout rooms. If you scroll down, we've got so many people here that my screen space is limited, but you see, I've got a green room and a red room, and I could make as many rooms as I wanted, and then I would go and say I want to put these five people, and then I would come up here to a tool and I would throw them into the breakout rooms by sending them to the green room or the red room. I'm not going to do that because then they couldn't hear me talking. They'd be in their own private little space. The breakout rooms are not recorded. Everything else is. Okay. Video conference. Okay, we have a question, and now I have to scroll up to see who it is. Go ahead, Dave Cooper. Okay, Dave, you didn't press the clicker down at the bottom, and we didn't get you, but why don't you use the text chat for your question, and Shubash can help me keep track of people down there if I miss some question there, or you can answer the question yourself if I'm yakking away. Okay, video conference. Everyone thinks high-speed networks must mean video conferencing, and this does support very primitive webcam, which is not the HD23 video conferencing standard that you use in room-sized rooms. It's very primitive, and I went out and bought for $110 a camcorder right here, and it was especially, you know, I didn't buy the $70, I went for the $110 because it was for notebooks. And I got the thing, it's supposed to stand up here, and it's for fat notebooks. And mine, it just doesn't work, you know, and I've got elastic bands. But I'm going to turn it on now just briefly and subject everyone to the poor quality that it is. So I go to the camera, and just a sec, what happened? Where's my camera window? There's supposed to be a little menu that pops up. No wonder I hate video conferencing. I tried this an hour ago. Enable, okay.
And I'm supposed to get a new window that tells me to preview. Let me just see. Nope, I took it away from myself. Oh, enable it. Am I doing something wrong here? Shubash has a select suggestion. Thank you. Shubash is the technical supporter for the Research Center. Go ahead, Shubash.
I tell you, there is a little video camera icon on the top next to the one that says disable video camera support. I think you have to click on that.
Thank you, Shubash. Now I preview it. And, oh, there's my smiling face in black and white. Now, I don't know if it's only black and white. As I say, I don't use this, and I move around, and, you know, I wave out of focus. Oh, and I transmit it so that people out there. Now, why isn't it transmitting? Oh, maybe I've got to enable it. No? See why I don't like video conferencing. Preview it. And?
Click preview again.
Click video again?
Preview.
Yeah.
And then now click transmit.
Ah, thank you. Can you see me out there in Illuminate Land if you can? Yes. Okay. So, that's what you get. It is not a video conferencing application, really. It will in 2, 3, 5 years, whatever. Okay, and we have a question from Dragan from Simon Fraser. Go ahead, Dragan.
I just played math from the state. Sorry about that.
I just had to take Dragon's mic away from him for that poor behavior of accidentally pushing the question bar and then pushing the on the air without knowing how to turn it off again. And you toggle it on, you toggle it off. So you can see, this is the very first time nobody has had any training, like zero training on this. So this is what happens in a first class or a first meeting. But you can see it's not really rocket science. And the next version of Illuminate, which has just been released, I'm not sure if we're running it, but they focused on accessibility issues. So it has a text transcript where somebody can be texting for somebody who's hearing impaired. It's got an import to big viewer. A lot of handicap stuff are added. So that'd be a nice feature. Okay, let me just go on. What's different about this? I better take this video away too. Okay, I'm going to take it away from everybody, except for me and Shubash. I love the power of Illuminate.
Let's see you turn off that blinking light.
Okay, his hand is raised, so I'm going to. Yeah, that's what you find is all this blinkiness and following the text screen is a bit of a. Somebody's writing on the screen. I'm a very generous teacher. I'm allowing. That's Kathy Killo doing some art. I could take all of that power away from them, but in the democratic nature of Athabasca University, I'm leaving it on. The multitasking. That's one thing that after you do this for 2 hours in a teaching environment, maybe not in an administrative meeting, because at least in a meeting you can clean your desk or do your email or something like that. But when you're teaching, it seems like you always have to concentrate. So you have multiple sources of input. You got that text message hopping around there. You got the, of course, the screen, people writing. You've got the voice, all those things. So it's a little tiring after you do it for an hour or two, I'll tell you. And it helps if you have somebody who designated to watch the whiteboard for you, or if you've blown it and missed something, and all that sort of stuff. what's the advantage of this compared to video conferencing? The recordability is very, very good, and it shows you the whole thing, including who's here, who's smiling, everything. And so if somebody misses a meeting or a class, they get it, they can go to it. And I'll show you in a minute what it looks like to go and retrieve these messages. It's very easy. Individual control and access to a network machine. In schools, the big push in Alberta is to give people video conferencing. And some of them, the better ones, have smart boards so that the teacher can go on a web safari or take the kids. But it would be so much better if the kids were in control of the web safari and they can go there and they can do this or they can do that or they can create things instead of just having the teacher kind of show it. So because every student or every participant has a machine there, they can go to their email, they can do this, they can do that, they're in control, which you don't get in a centralized video control. The third one is really, of course, popular for us in distance education is the access issue. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, what about the people who don't have an internet connection? And those people are out of this tool. But again, 95, 98, 99% of our students and all of our staff have email and have network connections. So for those applications, it's a bit of a problem. Or if you don't have access. Now, do you need high speed? Always comes up. And I've taught 3 years now with this program. And every year I have at least one or two students who are on the dial-up and don't have high speed. And it isn't as good. And what happens, it's fairly cool that as the bandwidth is so slow that they can't that it can't keep up, it goes blank for a minute. And then the person continues in about 5 seconds, only with a Mickey Mouse helium kind of voice, you know, as they speed up. It's legible, and it isn't great, and it isn't on the recording. But it is problematic, so it works a lot better if everybody is on high speed. But the access at home, like I'm going to Alaska tonight. I have to teach my course on Tuesday, and so I'll do it from the hotel room or from the University of Alaska, or I could do it from an internet cafe or basically from anywhere. That allows the Java applet to be loaded down onto your machine, and some internet cafes have prescriptions against that, but you could go to your brother's house or something like that, or you could plug in any place you can plug in your portable, you can get to this system, unless there's a big heavy firewall. And Illuminate has a big feature on their homepage about firewall issues, and fortunately it hasn't been a problem running it from here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. The Java app, that's a one-time download, though, right? So you wouldn't need to download. If you have it on your machine now and you would go to a remote location, you wouldn't need to download it again.
Yes. Good question, Derek. You don't need to download it again. I guess I was thinking in the circumstances where you didn't have a portable and you were just walking around. But you're right. It is a one time per version. And about every 8 months, Illuminate comes out with a new version. You have to do it over again. That can take, well, how many people who downloaded Illuminate on their machine for this presentation out there in Illuminate land? Let's see. We'll do a little poll here. I'll go to the tools and I'll change the polling to multiple choice. And I should type this in here, but I'm too lazy. So if it took more than a minute to download the client and get going, can you push it? Less than a minute, press A. If it took less than 5 minutes, press B. If it took more than 10 minutes, press C. There you go. And I would bet most of these people did it on high speed, so it's less than a minute. So on a very low speed, it can take 10 or 15 minutes the one time you have to do it. So yeah, there's the class polling. Oh boy, great. Cost efficiency. There is no cost for long distance calls. So compared, I know long distance costs are getting lower, but like the teleconference system we use with TELUS, you know, the meter's ticking every time we're using that. Whereas this is, we paid a yearly fee. We have 100 seats, and that means that we can enroll and register as many people as we want, but only 100 can be on at any one time. So you can have 5 meetings of 20 or any combination you want. As soon as the 101st person comes on from Athabasca University, they can't come in. It says buy more licenses or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a question here. Go ahead, Janet.
Just to confirm that then, is that 20 on right now?
Yeah.
Those people don't, it's not cumulative, the kind of thing from session to session. So it's only, it's a matter of, we could have 100 in this meeting and then we could go over. You know, it doesn't matter what you have next week or week after or last week.
Right, right. And the way to think of it is to think that we, by buying this system or other system, competitive systems, we buy a room, a virtual room that can be divided up and can split, but it only holds 100 people. And everyone's interested in the cost. Maybe that's the next slide. Oh, this is just one you might not be able to read, but I did a study comparing video conferencing to audiographics, and this web conferencing over here with 25 sites and 25 computers costs a little bit less than what it would cost for 4 sites using video conference. And again, remember the access. These 25 seats are anywhere, in a hospital, in a room, in a hotel, whereas these 4 video conference, we all walk to the video conference center, or we have $1,500 worth of hardware on our own machine or something like that. So that's my argument for cost effectiveness. Okay, Illuminated Athabasca, it was purchased with CFI funding as a research tool for the Center for Distance Ed. We ran it for 2 years where we hosted it. It was on our server. And Brian, our new CIO, is supportive of trying to get other vendors to support their own products rather than us if possible. So we switched, and now we have 100 room space on the Illuminate server in Calgary. And we use it as much as we want, 24 hours a day, however we want. Now the original one I bought was 25 seats, and it was a one-time purchase of $20,000, and then $4,000 a year for a maintenance fee. Now Brian, I never heard how much you paid for the hosted solution, but it gives you a kind of an idea of the ballpark we're talking about here. And again, if that's expensive or cheap, compared to building a real room, it's real cheap. Compared to using Skype or something like that, which is totally free, it's expensive. So that's our trade-offs. It has been used for, in the Center for Distance Ed, for 4 courses that we've taught, center meetings and research collaboration. And my plan is to, when our new academic computing committee gets struck, is to bring this forth as a recommendation that we buy one of these tools. And I'm a little biased to this one because I've spent a long time learning or trying to teach myself how to use it, and others have. It's an Alberta product. They give good support. But I imagine with due diligence, this committee will look at some of the other products on the market. When I was at the University of Alberta, I bought the Centra program, which is the market share leader out of Boston. And it's a good product too, but it doesn't support Macs. And it was at that time more expensive, but I haven't kept up on the pricing. So it's not officially an AU-supported tool today. I hope it will, or an equivalent will be, for a number of reasons. Okay, before the demo, I just wanted to say that when you think about this tool, you can, if you think about it in a cohort-based group moving along, that's really where it's designed for. So that means the grad programs. It means there are space study that we do at our off-campus sites that we do at Blue Quills and other places like that. How this fits into continuous enrollment, I'm not sure. I don't think there is a huge role for it, except for special group meetings if they have them. It's not really, those have been designed to be asynchronous, and this is a synchronous tool, obviously. And so the way I use it in my grad courses, it goes on top of Moodle. It does some things better and some things worse, and it's a combination. So that's, in a nutshell, the teaching and learning way I could see it used at Athabasca. The second way is to think now about the administrative uses. And I think there, Pat Fahey's on from our center, so he could maybe give a comment about what it's like having center meetings on it. We've hardly used the fancy features, but it works, and the recording, and it took us a while, you know, to everyone get in the mic that worked. You know, $20 for a CDE faculty member was a bit much, but we got them all up and running, and away we go. That was another joke.
recorded up there.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So I have been demonstrating some of these features, basic screen tools, annotation chats, and smileys. We've seen that. The typing, you know, you can do the text chatting to the whiteboard, that sort of thing. Test doesn't spell, no spell checker. You can save, an individual student can save a capture of the whiteboard or save the whole slide set if they want to. And the polling feature you saw, now you can see it's to the ABCDs. You have a number of options. One of the other options is, are you going too slow or too fast kind of thing? Because remember, the turn taking is slow, and I can't look into the eyes and see that everyone has glazed eyes. So I could turn this on to saying speed up or go slower. Mind you, if we did that in CDE meetings, I imagine we would all be go faster, go faster. Polling the quiz. The quiz I have never used, and I'm going to try to... I have a question here, okay, and now the other people won't be seeing this, but in the library, let's see, I think I can open up the library. My new quiz, I saved a question, but then I logged back in as researcher instead of myself, and my quiz isn't here. My goodness. Well, I could do add a new question. But the other people can't see this prep work, so I'm not going to bother with this. The whole idea is you can make a bunch of quizzes, 5 or 8 questions. You can give it at the start of your session, and it'll record, and you can share the results, or you can keep them privately. So if you want to have, you know, snap quiz kind of idea, and you can use it for marks if you want it. Again, K-12 mentality. So there is a quiz function, and I'm sorry. I could do a new one, but why? Oh, dear. Okay, end of the quiz function. Now, I got to remember how to exit the quiz without, oh yeah, I go up here. Okay. The webcam I already showed you, the breakout rooms, I didn't demo them, but I talked about them briefly. The application sharing. And what the application sharing, again, it allows me to open something else on my screen and share it with other people. Go ahead, Derek. Thank you.
Just a quick question about the breakout rooms, Terry. You mentioned earlier that if you put the people into breakout rooms, they want them to hear you. Would that mean that if you're working with a group of students and you put them in 4 breakout rooms, how are you recontacting them after that?
Excellent question. How do you reconnect with people who are in the rooms? What you do in K-12 fashion is the teacher sticks their head in by moving themselves into that room and taking part in the conversation if they want, or ruthlessly grabbing them and hurling them back into the main room, which is the way it normally works. And Billy had a question, or else he put his hand up and then he put it down. Do you have a question, Billy? I'll give. Maybe he just accidentally. You see, it's going light there. He's doing a text message right now. Oh, the other neat thing about this version. I just said I'm. Okay, I'll smile for that. Okay. This feature also allows you to stream multimedia so that if you have a clip that you want to show to everybody, and the old version sort of allowed that too, but the problem was is that if somebody was on the dial-up and other people were on a high speed, it takes advantage and it assumes, and this is a bit of a liability, that everyone has the player to play that media being zoomed down. So if it's a QuickTime movie, everyone has to have QuickTime. And QuickTime usually, or they start playing, you know, when the signal, enough of it is there. And if you're on high speed, it's there right away. But if you're in low speed, you've got to wait. And so what happened is I would say, has everyone seen the movie? And some people would say, what movie? And then the other people would say, you know, I've watched it 5 times. And so we were always out of sync. This new version is very cool because at the beginning of your class, you load up any clips that you're going to show. And then these little lights show here on the screen, and they show red and green. And once everyone has got a green light showing, then you say play. And it seems to work. I haven't used it that much. I don't use a lot of video, but it's that's one thing you can do. Okay, and the other thing is web touring. Yes, I've got a little World Wide Web tour button here. I'm not sure if everyone has this, maybe just the moderators. And if I go to, well, why don't we go to cider.athabascaau.ca, the Canadian Institute for Distance Education. Notice the shameless plug for my own product. And you can see another window has popped up. And I can configure it so it pops up in the whiteboard or in a separate window. I'm surprised it's so slow. Did I do that right? Cider.athabascaau. Oh, maybe I have to, Okay, if you can see that, can you give me a smiley face if you now have the Cider thing on your screen? Yeah, so you can see most people are getting it. Now, you could, you know, wait and say, hey, Chug, I didn't see you put your smile up and sort of really take control, but to me, sometimes people are, you know, a little bit absent or not thinking, or drinking coffee or talking to their husband or whatever, so I don't usually wait. Oh, Billy has 2 ciders. Quit drinking so fast, Billy. Go ahead, Derek.
Quick question, when you load that web page into the whiteboard, can you now draw on that web page? For the whiteboard tool, or is it? No.
Right. No, the answer is no to that. What you can do, though, is you can click and it'll follow people. So if I want to go to, to about students on Cider. I don't know why it's so slow, whether it's loading up everyone on it. Okay. Now, everyone out there in Illuminate land has now seen it switch to graduate students. I hope they smile. Yeah. Okay. So that's how you do the web safaris. I found that there's a problem, though, when you get to a login, that it'll log yourself in, but everyone else gets held up in this login. So I've just had to learn that through bitter experience, that is not the way to go through logins. When you want to go through a secure area, you have to start an application sharing, and then they'll see everything that you see that way.
Question, Bob.
Okay, Bob had a question?
No, he's not getting the web tour.
Oh, okay, Bob's saying that he's not getting the web tour. What's happened is it's probably there, Bob. It's just hidden in another window. And so if you can look through the other windows that are open on your screen, you'll probably see it. And that has been a problem, especially for people who aren't fluent with using multiple windows open. Or sometimes I'll say, okay, now let's go back to the whiteboard area. And some people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to close this window or move it aside or minimize it or that sort of thing. So I think that's probably Bob's problem. And Billy got the click from a new window. Yeah, I'm not really clear on that myself. You'll see Illuminate offered to come and do this demo, and they would have done a lot better job, but I thought maybe I could have a better Athabasca perspective. So it's sort of like learning words, you know. It takes you years before you learn all the features. Okay, let me show you the application sharing because I want to show you how you set up a room and all that sort of stuff. So I do that. I come to application sharing, which is this hand. I click on it, and it shows all the applications that are open on my machine right now. And I happen to have Microsoft Windows Explorer open, and so I'm going to highlight that, and I'm going to say OK. And now, I can go to that application, which is here, and with any luck, everyone else is now seeing this window, which is the Illuminate.com support window. And they could talk, but I'd have to go back now to say, you know, are you guys really with me here? And it's a little disconcerting. But I'm going to assume, in fact, I'm going to go back, well, then they would have to go back to the window, but what am I saying here? Oh, okay. Right, and no, that's fine. Let me see, can I get rid of this one? I can, and no, that's not the one I wanted. This one. Yeah, right. Hey, thank you. Okay, now everyone who can see minimize form, the Illuminate window on my screen, please give me a smiley face. Well, some people are. Hey, it's working. Okay. This is the Illuminate site, and this is the support. Now, the big question we have, especially if it's students, is just who's going to answer all their questions. Is it going to be my job? Is it going to be CS's job? Whose job is it going to be? And I think we can almost offload this task to Illuminate because they have two levels of support. They have a 24-hour a day a call center, and Lord knows where it's located, but you can, they're real used to my Java doesn't work and I can't do this or I can't do that in order to get first up or a firewall in my company, what do I do kind of question. There's a second level of support for people who've paid the money, like Athabasca, which helps you with the booking and all of the teacher kind, moderator kind of services. So I'm thinking and hoping that the individual support will be minimal. I've used it with my students, and a few of them have had good success using it. I haven't had to do very much hand-holding, but if we were to scale, it's something you have to consider with any new product. A couple of questions here. Go ahead.
Do you actually foresee Helpdesk having any publishing to do on this?
I just don't know the answer to that. They may. I think if it becomes a supported product, then I would assume that people on the help desk would have Illuminate on their desktop, and maybe the help desk would use it for their own meetings, or somehow they would have a basic familiarity with it. But I don't know a lot about the help desk, so tell me.
I'm sharing on behalf of them, that's why I'm asking.
Right.
We're trying to familiarize ourselves with it, we're just trying to figure out where our scope support would be on this.
Right. Well, that's the kind of discussion we have to have if this becomes an official product. First of all,
I'm just wondering how the number 100 is determined in the license. Like, if you have 100 MBA students on Monday, and then on Tuesday, 100 MBA students?
That's exactly it. In fact, what you would do is you can register thousands of students, yeah, as many as you wanted, but only 100 on at one time. Yeah.
It's sort of talking to some extent, but it's about application sharing. It isn't really application sharing, right? It's more like they're seeing your screen. They're not controlling your application like you want to see.
Yeah, you can give it to. I can give authorization to other people to take control of my machine. And Illuminate uses that when you have a problem, they'll take control of your machine and run Illuminate. So it does do real application sharing. I've never used it, somehow here there's a thing I could.
So it must have a BNC client built into Illuminate, I'm guessing. Somewhere to have control over. And that's okay.
Right. For those who are in the room, there is this monstrous participant manual. There's also an end user, sort of a student manual, but this one's more for teacher, and it talks about application sharing. I haven't, of course, being a male, I haven't read the instructions. So, but all of this stuff, and that's why I'm here, is to show you the support that's available from Illuminate. And I'll do that by going to, if we go here to Guides and References, and I'm hoping that everyone's following right along here. You can see there's one for firewalls. Participant, there's a quick reference guide. You can see that's 238. This one here, this 80-page special, is that one. Pre-configuration information. And then there's technical stuff, quiz manager, recording, playback, all that. So you got paper documentation there. You also have some very nice things here. I'll just go back to their live demos. Where's that? Here. And of course, they're great salesmen. And so they'll schedule an event, or they have regular ones if you want to go to a training session or whatever. But it's very nice, the recorded demos, because they're all done using Illuminate with the recording on. And there's the pros, you know. And so she has, you can see a menu here, the sneak preview, developing a strategy, exploiting it, quality standards. And I think it would tell you how many minutes each of these is. And I could click on this, and another Illuminate window would come up. And of course, I couldn't ask any questions, but I could get the demo, and I could see the person drawing down the menus and all that sort of stuff. So it's quite well established, I think. But what I was really here to on the application sharing, Derek, go ahead.
Just I guess I'm speaking up another quick question about that, about the demos and stuff and the recorded versions of the Illuminate sessions. Do you have to run them within Illuminate, or are they sort of downloaded as videos in real time or quick time and you can just watch them in any browser?
Yeah, good question. They are recorded as Illuminate proprietary sort of format, which means that if you want to read it back, you have to have the client done one time on your machine. But if you've been at the session or you were planning to be at the session, you probably have it running on your thing anyway. Okay, this is the interface that you get as I log in. And I log in as my password. And I've got fairly high status within the system, so I see things that people, you can be either a super administrator, and that's what Shubash is. You can be some sort of secondary level guru, which is what I am. And that means I can run whole courses. You can be a moderator, and a moderator can just start individual meetings. And then you can be a participant. And each of these statuses has different ones. And again, we control those, Shubash controls. And again, that's if CS going to take this over, if the help desk, if it does, if they can't log on or something like that. Shubash is doing it now, but it's kind of minimally used, so. No, because I'm not logging into a session. I'm logging in to what I'll show you, which is my Illuminate. And I don't think the quizzes are stored there. I don't know. I don't really use them very much. Okay, two things to show you. I can display the schedule, which is my schedule. It's just for things that I've been invited to. And it shows that I had a meeting this morning, and I was the moderator. And if it was, the meeting is over, it was only from 10 to 11. And so the join is not live because it's over. But if I turn this now to go to show me the schedule for the next couple of months for me, it shows that I've got a bunch of my class every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. And none of them are live because it isn't time. A half an hour before showtime, these things come live, and then people can walk in and chit-chat, open the room and walk in sort of thing. So that's the first thing I want to show you is just how the individual scheduling. Now, this means that these people have to be invited to the meeting, whereas you guys all and those people there, we just did a general invite. Everyone come in, one login. They're not really officially Illuminate people. They just drop in. And so you can do it either way. If I wanted to schedule a new meeting, I can do it this fast way. Just give it a name, test, and what day does it start, when does it stop. And then I can invite people, or I can show the email invitation. I can attach the agenda to it or whatever I want. And that's what we did for that. And then I just press create the session, and I've got a new meeting set up. Okay, the other utility that I wanted to show you was the recording, playback recorded course or recorded meetings. I'll look at my course sections, and you can see that there are three classes. This is the one I had last night, and it shows that I was the moderator, and they had 13 people show up. And I could go and highlight this one, and I could see who attended, and I could push the playback button, and then a new Illuminate screen would come up, and we would see the show. Other utilities. I get my month schedule. The contact manager about, because again, I have more rights than other people, I can establish new accounts and take them away from people and all that sort of stuff. I'm a bit disappointed in the whole interface to how to set up a course, and they promise at Illuminate that they're going to fix it. It's a bit of a bear to really figure out how to run a whole course. So in a way, Illuminate runs at, say, the Alberta Distance Learning Center. They have a sort of a person who is their scheduler. You can think of it as the maintenance person for that virtual room, and they set up the rooms and the courses and all that sort of stuff. It's not the kind of thing that every teacher would want to do, but it's the kind of thing the teacher would want to email and say, I want to have 14 classes every Tuesday. Please set them up, and here's my list of students. We don't have that, and the research center, or at least me, is not going to be doing that for everybody else. It was bad enough for myself. But that's a support function that we have to figure out who's going to do that. And Shubash is doing it right now, but again, it depends on the volume, the overhead of administration. And we have a question, and let me just go back over here. Can you tell who or how many have, yeah. Good question, Rory. People who were invited to the meeting, were registered in the meeting, can see it. But those who, like you people out in Illuminate land now, you didn't have an official login. You logged in however you want. So that's where it gets a little cumbersome how they can see that. And the only way that I've been using it on our CIDR sessions is to take that copy and put it onto the CIDR site and put an HTML link to it, which is another thing that I've had help from the CS to help do that, but it's an issue that we have to address, is how are we going to make it so that anybody in the world can see these. As it is now, only the invited people can see the sessions. And you can configure that too, about whether even those invited people can see it or not. You have control. Okay, I think that was about all that I wanted to show about the Illuminate reports. I'm in, what is that? Oh, you can tell you who's attended, all that sort of stuff. Okay, I'm going to take away the sharing. I think that's this one. Resume sharing, don't stop. Okay, there we go. So now we're back, and we're just about finished. How to book sessions, moderator passwords from Shubash, user manuals from Illuminate.com, and demos. And in other words, do go to Illuminate if you want some training. They've got regular every Tuesday or Thursday. They've got the schedule. You just drop in, tell them you want to go, or they'll set one up for you if you want. But it works quite well, especially if three or four people decide that they're going to just practice it. Like if you're going to do a research team meeting or an admin team meeting, or maybe if Ed Media wants to meet with their people in Edmonton, then you practice that way before you embarrass yourself in front of others, like I'm trying to do here. Anyways, we have a hand up. It's Rory McGrail. Go ahead, Rory.
Well, I wrote my question. I can't get rid of the TV.
Okay, I hope that got the icon. Kathy's given some suggestions. That's the other thing I really like about this, is that when I'm bumbling away, or if I'm talking too much or whatever, the text chat allows another channel so that people can answer questions, or they can type in a URL or an email address without disturbing me, and the class can sort of help each other along, kind of thing. Because everybody, if you think of your virtual classroom, remember it's a virtual classroom, except everybody has a whiteboard and has access to the file sharing and all those other sorts of things. Next slide, instructional applications, cooperative working presentation, canning guest lectures, special events, all that sort of stuff. Oh, Rory, put your hand down, please. Oh, and he stepped away and he's left his hand up. What a guy. Very good. That's another nice feature. If you go to get a coffee or something, I come up here and I say, no session, I'm stepped away. And then it indicates to the other people that I'm really not there, as Rory has done with his hand up. Okay, well, let's see, was there another question? No, I guess there wasn't. He says, I'm back. How do I come back? You toggle. Click on the door. Oh, yeah, the door. There's the door. That's right. I think there is a door someplace. Anyway.
Down at the entrance, right?
Oh, yeah, here's the door. So did it make me go away? Oh, yeah, see how it's highlighted me now? Thank you. See, I'm not really all that good at this program. Okay. He opened the door. Okay, thank you, Roy, for rejoining us. Administrative meetings, do they replace and improve upon current teleconferencing use? Well, that's a question we have to address as a community. Is it better or is it worse? The turn-taking isn't so great. It has advantages. Curriculum meetings, research team meetings, paper or thesis defenses. I've done a number of examination of thesis where on video conferencing, and I must admit that seeing the face of the person, I think is pretty important in that kind of a context. But conceivably, you could. The time zone issue, of course, comes into play in any synchronous issue. But I have a student in the United Arab Emirates now, and he wakes up. It starts at 4 o'clock for him in the morning, and another one from the Caribbean. And they haven't missed any sessions, and seems to work all right, except they have to get up in that hour of the day. Okay, just about last slide. Which of these systems, again, I guess I've said most of that. I'm impressed by what Illuminate, they've said what's in the next version, when it's going to come out, and it does come out, or has come out to date. And again, one of the problems is, are they going to be around, or I believe their big vision is that Microsoft is going to buy them out and turn them into zillionaires, and then there'll be no more Illuminate, maybe, but that can happen in any of these companies. And the competitive ones who are just getting into the market are pricing themselves underneath Centra and Illuminate. And what decision we make as a university, I don't know. And thank you, we have another question from Rory McGrail. Go ahead, Rory.
Well, I wrote down my question. I'm wondering if you could respond to that, Terry.
It's such an obscure and tiny question from the people at the back, right, that they asked that you could you read the question out so that we can ensure your pronunciation of make sure you put the right emphasis on the good syllable. Go ahead, Rory.
I don't know how to pronounce those words, Terry.
Okay. How would you construct knowledge in a postmodernist context? Juxtaposition, orbicularis, oris positions in a medical, physical environment. And thank heavens we have people from Maze here who can answer that question. Okay. Potential uses, your comments and questions. Okay. We're just about out of time anyways. So please fire out any questions either in the room or out. And Gilda at the back, I'll repeat it for the mics. Yes.
Ethnicity.
Jill is asking about epilepsy and that strobing. I really don't know, and it's a very good question that we should certainly do some due diligence on and talk to the people at Illumina about that.
The other question is about the recurring of succession.
Yes. Right. The question is that sessions, I think as we bring in any new tool, we have to revisit those policies. And one can destroy them as the administrator like Shubash can. So we could, once a year, he could just wipe everything out. We've never used it for regular classes. So is that policy one we want to keep on? And what about FOIP? I mean, students have to be told that they're being recorded. So it raises policy issues that we haven't addressed, and we'll have to address those issues like that one. Thanks for bringing it up. Thank you.
Just a comment, really. It's a fairly complex tool, trying to do a lot of things. I think a lot of it, as an educator, I don't think I would use a lot of the features. And as I sit here looking at it, I think, well, if I'm using an LMS anyway, and I wanted to use a whiteboard, there's lots of, open source desktop broadcasters which will just broadcast whatever on my desktop to whoever puts in the URL I send them, send my IP address, so they can see whatever application they're working in. They could get a snap of it, which can be uploaded every 5 seconds or 3 seconds, whatever I want. And then if I'm using MSN Messenger and Skype, Messenger for the text messaging and Skype for the audio, it seems to me that that does pretty much everything I want to do, and I'd be collecting data on who's attending and who's there in the LMS anyway. I would think I wouldn't be looking for a confidence system to be doing that. I'd be wondering about this. So it seems to me like there's a lot more than I would want to. I'd be wondering about the extra cost and the learning curve and the help desk support and all those things, issues of point and all that. It just seems like it'll be an interesting issue to discuss.
Yeah. I guess my response would be, if your class size is like 4 or 5 students, I think you can manage that kind of thing, and like Skype ends at 4 people. If you have 30 students, like CDE does in many of our courses, just the logistical nightmares of trying to share a screen with 30 people, you probably wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. I guess that's one advantage, and just the record keeping, the organization, the administration. Of course, it comes at a cost, a learning curve cost. If we're using this for all our administrative meetings, then that cost decreases because you only have to learn it once. But if we were to have 4 different of these packages around, like we could happen at Athabasca University, then there would be learning curve time 4, So that's why I think we have to go through a due process before we adopt anything. Go ahead.
My question was, is this kind of thing adaptable to the seminar? What kind of, for example, when I do PowerPoints, they are not whiteboard like slides. They are, they have a lot of graphic content images and stuff like that. If I wanted to give a seminar, and I'm thinking about the Earth and Planet Future Seminar Series and things, can someone, a geologist or whatever, show a whole series of images in that whiteboard space or PowerPoint and take down and then deal with discussions and have a text window perhaps or their own audio accompaniment so that they can give a distributed presentation?
That's a good question, and the answer is yes. We held 8 CIDR sessions, and we had 50 to 70 people from across Canada dialed in, and we did them all last spring. And we had different speakers, and we didn't give them really any training, and they all used PowerPoint, and they were recorded, and now they're all available on the CIDR site. So the answer is yes in general. One of the problems is the PowerPoint slides get converted, and so that the build feature, if you use that as you talk, you don't get that. But other than that, the multimedia things, to suggest that, you know, somebody can walk right off the street in 10 minutes before class time and run a real cool show is probably not there. But I'm thinking that for Lunch and Learn, somebody like Shirley will become a bit of an expert and will help the speaker as they're here. And it'll be just like what we're doing here, only there will be all those out in Illuminate Land who can participate in our distributed workplace. So we have two questions, first from Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Just to remind people to, or Terry, if you could repeat their questions. They're coming in a little faint through the room mic. But I do have a question, or at least a comment, that we're looking at Illuminate to host some of our center meetings, or at least pilot it. And in that regard, you know, we look forward to more options over the sort of traditional teleconference that seems to dominate a lot of our center meetings. So we hope to use it over the next a few months and see how it goes, so we can report back to you on that.
Good. Well, thank you, Bob. We'll look forward to that. And Shubash is the guy to talk to about getting authority and the login and all that sort of stuff. Dunway has a question as well. Go ahead, Dunway. The question is, can we use it for each learning session? I guess I don't know what you mean by a learning session. We do lots of learning at Athabasca University. I have no mic. Sorry. Okay. Well, if you could just, for the lunch and learn, like this session. Okay, sure. Well, I'm suggesting we should. I guess it's up to the Research Center. They're the sponsors of this thing, and Shirley has been trying to learn how to, you know, book it. I think it would be really nice so that we could have a larger audience for these things. But I think that's the intention, but maybe Rory would like to comment, or somebody from the Research Center.
Yes, I would very much like us to put our Lunch and Learns onto the Illuminate and be used. I don't think we're going to force it on anyone who wants to just do the traditional one, but I strongly encourage anyone who is doing a Lunch and Learn to come in, and we'll try to get the training done beforehand and to use it, and we'll try to get some aid there. Maybe we could have Shubash there to help people as they're on and doing it. But I think it's something that we should all get used to and try to use it. And as Terry said, this is one of a number of tools, but I think if we get comfortable with one of these, it will be of great benefit to all of us.
Thanks, Rory. Well, our time is, I guess, about up. I think I will now turn the tape recorder off. How do I do that? Stop.